That means that we enjoyed that. That means we got it right down to the very last drop. And so the Bible says that Satan is walking around like a roaring lion seeking to drink people down until there's nothing left of them. That Satan's desire is to wear you out, to wear you out, wear your testimony out. It's to take your testimony until there's nothing left, until he leaves you just high and dry. He's seeking to devour.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze continues our series titled Weapons of Our Warfare. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of identifying the enemies.
We're going to continue our series that we started last week in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. All right, let's begin reading in verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And last week we spoke at length as to the fact that it's all about our mind. You know, we put a lot of emphasis on the things that we see. We put a lot of emphasis on our bodies, but really it's all about the mind. Because wherever your mind is at, that's where you're at. Wherever your mind is at, that's going to affect your body. And so Paul lets us know here that we are in a war, and that as we are in this war, that he has given us weapons to fight. And mainly what we're fighting is these strongholds and these imaginations that take root in our mind. And so before we actually get into next week talking about the various weapons of our warfare, this morning, what I'd like to do is identify the enemies. Who are we battling against? Who are we fighting against? That if we need weapons, there's a neat reason that we need weapons. And so we want to see who the enemy is today. We have probably all had this happen to us at some point before. I know I've had it happen to me on more than one occasion. You take your car to the mechanic to get it fixed, and you leave there thinking that the problem has been resolved, only to find out that your car is still doing the same thing that it was doing before you took it to get it fixed. And you take it back again, and only to find the same thing that happened again. Now, I've had this happen to me in my history of owning cars. I've had it happen several times where they identified the wrong problem and they were fixing something, but it wasn't taking care of the problem. And the sad thing is that sometimes when they do it, they charge you for what they fixed that really didn't need to be fixed. But then they'll tell you, well, it needed that anyways. Right. Yeah, but you didn't fix my problem. And so I think a lot of times we as Christians, we end up fighting battles that are not the root battles that we need to be addressing. We fight skirmishes over here and skirmishes over there when there's real battles that we need to be addressing that we are just letting blow by us. And so today what I want to do is identify the two enemies that we need to be aware of, and that those are the two levels that we need to be fighting this battle on. And I'm just going to be very simple this morning, very simple. There's two enemies that we fight. One is Satan, and the other one is self. That's the bottom line. Those are the two enemies that we fight, Satan and self. Now, as we look at first this war with Satan, I want to look at two things as we look at the war with Satan. I want to look at his intentions and also his instruments. all right? His intentions and his instruments. You know, what are the intentions of Satan in this war? And we need to understand that because it will help us go a long way. The first thing that I want to do is look at 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. And it says here, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Satan is seeking people to devour. That's his objective, is to take people down. And so anytime we find ourselves in a skirmish, we need to realize that if it's coming from Satan, that he has one goal, and that is to take us down. If you look at the notes, you'll see that I put in here, the devil is looking for people to devour. Now, this Greek word is very interesting because you know what it means? It means to drink down or gulp in entire. It's like when you have your favorite drink and you drink it all the way down to the last drop. And I'm not going to be ignorant this morning from the pulpit, but some of us will make a gastronomical sound after we have drunk, right? And that means that it was good. That means that we enjoyed that. That means we got it right down to the very last drop. And so the Bible says that Satan is walking around like a roaring lion seeking to drink people down until there's nothing left of them. That Satan's desire is to wear you out, wear your testimony out. It is to take your testimony until there's nothing left, until he leaves you just high and dry. He's seeking to devour. I was reading the story about a pastor who was on a plane. And as he was on the plane, he said, usually I'll try to, you know, read something or, you know, something to occupy my mind and my attention. He said, but there was a guy sitting next to me, and he had a goatee, and he was kind of stroking his goatee, and he thought that he would engage this guy in conversation, and it looked like the guy was actually praying, and so he really thought that, you know, I need to engage him in conversation. So he began to talk to him, and he asked the guy, he said, do you believe in prayer? And the man said, yeah, I do. As a matter of fact, I'm praying right now. And he said, I have a specific assignment in my prayer. And this pastor asked him, well, what is your assignment? And he said that I'm praying for the downfall of Christian pastors. And the pastor said, I fit in that category. He said, is my name on your list? He said, no, not on my list, but it's probably on somebody's list. And I thought to myself, wow, that there are a group of people in this world who's dedicated to praying for the downfall of Christian pastors. Now, where does that come from? That comes straight from the pit of hell. And the fact that, I hate to say this, I really hate to say this, but it seems like, you know, they're having some success. You know, I was reading about a pastor who got caught up in this Ashley Madison thing where they have this website if you want to have an affair. And that this one pastor, evidently he had, I don't know if he actually had an affair, but he went on the website and he was trying to hook up. And when the list came out and it found out that his name was on the list, that he was just too embarrassed to go back and face his family or his church, and he committed suicide. And, you know, my heart just went out, and my heart just was broken, you know, for this pastor that you know, was exposed like that. And I began to think about that when I read this, that there's people that are out there praying for the downfall of Christian pastors. And why is that? Because if you can take a Christian pastor down, one that is heading a flock, one that is leading the church of God, then that's going to affect a lot of people. You know, and I stand here in this pulpit, and I stand to say that I'm not perfect. And I know that, you know, 1 Corinthians 10 says that, you know, take heed, you know, lest when you think you stand, you fall. And I know that, you know, Satan is after me, and there's nothing more that he would desire than to take me down. That's why when people tell me that they're praying for me, man, it means so much. Because I realize that your prayers are working, and your prayers are combating the prayers of others who are praying for the downfall of Christian pastors. And I need the prayers of the saints, that God would just allow me to be humble before him and walk before him and trust in him. And because the Bible says that Satan is like a roaring lion, and he's seeking to drink people down. He's seeking to drink you down to the very last drop. What is his intention? His intention is to devour God's people. What is the second intention? It is to deceive God's people. It is to deceive God's people. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 14. It is to deceive God's people. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 14. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. That Satan doesn't come to us with a red suit, with a pitchfork, and pointed ears. That Satan, when he comes as an angel of light. Let me move down a little bit. He comes as an angel of light. And as, you know, we think about what's going on in Christendom today, as I look around and I see how many people are being deceived, Christians that are being deceived, there's hucksters on television promoting a false gospel, but yet and still people think that they're the next thing, the best thing next to sliced bread. They think that these individuals coming and promoting the gospel of Jesus Christ. But the Bible says that these individuals are angels of light. That's why we need to be educated. That's why we need to be informed so that we are not deceived. You know, we're teaching a class on the cults on Thursday evenings. And so far we've dealt with a couple of cults, and you know, I don't want to get into in the pulpit some of the things that we've looked at. But there's a whole lot of people that are deceived. And they're deceived by things that you wouldn't even think that they would be deceived by. And Satan, if he can get us to go on another route, if he can get us to go on another path, that's his objective. As we go back to the lesson last week, he's what? Strongholds in the mind, imaginations in the mind, to get you focused on something else. You know, it breaks my heart when I see so many young people over my 25 years that have grown up here at Bethany Baptist Church, and they have gone out and come back now and they say that they are atheists, or they come back and say, well, I don't believe in the resurrection, or they come back and say, well, you know, that creation account of Genesis is a bunch of junk. And you know, they've gone out and they've been deceived. That Satan has somehow, and I know that Satan can't possess us. You know, I understand that Satan, you know, well, I believe, some Christians believe that we can be possessed by demons, but I don't believe that, because the Bible says that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And if we've got the Holy Spirit of God in us, that Satan can't and demons can't possess us, but they sure can knock us upside the head. They sure can beat us down. And so a lot of young people are being deceived by Satan when they get on these college campuses and they run into these professors. That's why, you know, I was watching a series by Ken Ham. And he just has finished writing a book. And in his book, he's dealing with the whole issue of why young people are leaving the church. And one of his points as to why young people are leaving the church is because they don't have a grip on the first 11 chapters of the book of Genesis. He said that's where the breakdown is. That I said, man, I'm going to get this video series, and maybe we need to start focusing this, you know, with some of our young people to just get them rooted and grounded in the first 11 chapters of the book of Genesis. Even if they don't memorize anything in the New Testament, that the first 11 chapters of the book of Genesis. Why is that important? Because it talks about creation. It talks about God and the fact that it shoots down atheism. It talks about what marriage is supposed to be about between a man and a woman. If you go back to the first 11 chapters of the book of Genesis, it tells you how sin came into the world. It tells you how people are deceived. And if we could just get people rooted and grounded, now again, we want to preach the whole counsel of God, but if we can get rooted and grounded in the first 11 chapters of the book of Genesis, if we can get the young people rooted and grounded in it, maybe when they go off to these college campuses, maybe when they step out into the world, they might not be so easily deceived. Because the scripture says here, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. So what is Satan's intention? Is to devour God's people, is to deceive God's people, and then it is to denounce God's people or denunciate God's people. Let's read the notes there. I have the scripture in there for you. And it says, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accuses them before our God day and night. This word denunciate means to condemn or accuse. So what is Satan's objective? Satan's objective is to take us down, to get us in trouble, and then go what? And then go accuse us before God. You know, there's a commercial. Some of you may have seen this commercial. It's this young girl and young boy. The little boy, he got a cape on like he's a superhero. And the young girl, she's dressed up like a princess. And they're both like, you know, these all-powerful people, that they are invincible. And they can't be taken down, right? And so the little boy somehow throws a ball and knocks something over. And the little girl said, ooh, Mom, Michael threw a ball in the house. You know, what was she trying to do? Trying to accuse him, right? Ooh, he threw a ball in the house. Well, that's what the devil wants to do. He wants to go before God and say, ooh, look what he did. Ooh, look what they did. And, you know, I'm not naive as I stand here and share this message to think that there are some people that don't believe in the devil. There are some, amen, we got a witness. we got a witness, praise the Lord. Because he must be beating somebody upside the head beside me. But, you know, some people would just say that, well, Satan represents a force of evil. You know, it's just, you know, there's good and evil in the world, and he's not a literal being. He represents evil. But the fact is that the Bible says from the very beginning that he was active. And not only is he active, but he has a whole horde of demons to do his will. And as you think about the fact that, you know, he wants to take us down so that he can do what? So he can go and accuse us before God. Now, I thank God for his grace, and I thank God for his mercy. Because God does, when we sin, God extends grace and mercy to us. But Satan goes and he accuses us before God. And you know what? I don't know about you, but you know, we should want to love the Lord so much that we try to keep our testimony pure and that we try to keep our testimony clean so that God can say to Satan like he, about what he said about Job, right? He said, have you considered my servant Job? That he's one who loves me and tries to avoid evil. Is that your testimony? Is your testimony today that you love the Lord and that there's nothing in your life and in your heart that you would want to do to bring shame on his name? You know, I pray to God again that God put a hedge of protection around me. Because I don't want my wife or my kids or the members of this church to have to stand in front of somebody. Man, you know, your pastor did such and such a thing. Man, that would be, just put your head down in shame. I don't want to bring any shame on the people in my life. And let alone do I want to bring any shame on the Lord. Is that where your heart is at? We need to be on the lookout for Satan. You know, I tried my hand at some songwriting over the years. And so, you know, I did write a song that I would like. I'm not going to sing it, but I'd really like to share it with you at this time. Paul Simon, he had a song that was titled 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover. He said, you can slip out the back, Jack. You can make a new plan, Stan. Don't need to be coy, Roy. You can hop on the bus, Gus. You can drop off the key, Lee. Well, I wrote a song. It's called 50 Ways to Resist the Devil. Now, I don't have 50 ways. Now, I was wondering about Paul Simon. He said 50, and I only saw about 7 or 8. So 50 ways. So I'm saying 50 ways to flee the devil, resist the devil, but I only got about 7 or 8. Get in the wind, Ben. Cross the street, Pete. Just take a stand, Dan. Submit to God, Rod. Pick up the pace, Ace. You got to flee, Lee. Get on the go, Joe. 50 ways to leave the devil. And you see, now nowhere in the scripture, and I do believe in casting out demons, and I do believe in that. But as far as a Christian is concerned, you know, nowhere in the Bible does it tell us to engage the devil. You know, everything I read, it says flee. So if you want a copy of my song, it will be available after after church today. You know, everything that I read in the scripture, as far as a Christian is concerned, you know, even Michael the archangel, he got into an argument with the devil about the body of Moses. You know, what does it say? That he didn't bring a railing accusation. And so we need to understand that, you know, the best thing that we can do if we're dealing with the devil is just get in the wind, Ben. That's the best thing that we can do.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Identifying the Enemies from our series, Weapons of Our Warfare. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's teaching, Identifying the Enemies, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Identifying the Enemies. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Identifying the Enemies. Or you can call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can request the entire series, Weapons of Our Warfare. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.